This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast. I am your host, Akona Machoba. Thank you for choosing this weekly SME show as your preferred platform to delve into the important issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. This week on the podcast, I am in conversation with Matt Putman, the co-founder of Durban-based fintech company eKhokha, the startup which has been dubbed the fastest growing fintech company in the country, has been in the payment processing industry for over a decade now, which for me means they have played an active role in contributing to or developing the innovations that we now enjoy as customers. In fact, they recently won the 2023 MTN Business Finance App of the Year Award, a testament, I think they would say, of their contribution to the industry. Matt, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me on the podcast, Akona. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you. So let's start off with being called the fastest growing fintech company in the country. How is that measured and how does that feel to have founded such a company?
I guess it feels quite humbling to be one of the fastest growing fintechs in the country. I guess the other thing for us, which we always try to remember, is that it's a marathon, not a sprint, especially in an economy like South Africa. So whilst things are going great at the moment and we've grown really healthily over the last decade, in order to keep achieving that sort of growth, you obviously have to keep looking forward, you know, stay humble and continue to learn and continue to get better to keep up those growth rates.
Mm. Of course, attitude is important to just keep in mind, so to keep you grounded. But what other key elements are supporting that growth and that is keeping eKhokha on the lips of many right now in that space?
I mean, I think it's a combination of things. I think the most important thing is delivering on our promise to small business owners and SMEs. So, you know, we're a business founded by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. And I think that really resonates with small business owners. They feel what we market, what we advertise, you know, as a brand is really, you know, how we deliver from a service perspective. So I think there's a few fundamentals for us. The one is payments is obviously, it's a very critical and sensitive part of business for all SMEs. And therefore, you have to be able to, A, build a brand that has a lot of trust, where merchants and consumers know that ultimately, you know, they're going to get the money that has been promised and is on time. They have to know that when they process payments, even in, you know, an economy like South Africa, where we're struggling with things like load shedding and connectivity and all the impact of that, that ultimately eKhokha is going to be able to find a way to be innovative in allowing them to process payments in real time and kind of, you know, always being able to honor that transaction so that they don't lose business. And then I think the other things in terms of growth is constantly looking at what is that customer experience, what is that customer journey, you know, that we provide to small business owners and how do we make it as simple and quick and easy as possible? How do we innovate from a distribution perspective? Obviously, South Africa is it's a big country. It's very diverse in how distribution works, whether you're in a big metro like Durban or Cape Town or Johannesburg. You know, there's, I guess, specific ways that SMEs like to access services. But then we have a huge amount of people who live outside of those three big cities and some of the smaller cities, on some of the frontier towns or in the township economy, and being very innovative in distribution and making sure that we, you know, we get to those SMEs at all levels of the economy, I think has been a key to our growth. And then very importantly, we have to continue to innovate in this digital economy, you know, in the world we're living in, things are changing very quickly and SMEs, they need help, they need guidance, they need a provider who's going to be able to evolve as the trends change. So for us, it's looking at what are the other problems that SMEs have that we're actually very well placed to help them solve for so that they can just focus on running their business, or the problems that we started out trying to solve, like helping bring you know, small business owners into this digital economy, helping them accept card payments, moving away from cash. How do we, you know, how do we solve those problems better than we have historically? So I think those are some of the key ingredients for us. And then very importantly is building a team and a culture that is experienced and committed to the cause, that is committed to helping make South Africa a better place, that understands the vital role that SMEs play in an economy that's quite stagnant, and that, you know, a lot of employment, a lot of the good stories, a lot of the actual GDP contribution is coming from the small business sector. So if we can build a platform and tools to help them grow, then we can hopefully get this economy back on track, you know, as we shift into 2024 and a new cycle for the country.
Matt, you mentioned already that the space is changing quickly. And I'm just wondering, I mean, you've been in this business for over a decade now. And what has that experience been like? How has the landscape changed? Are you seeing the same challenges that you had in the beginning, or have those issues grown to a bigger magnitude? I mean, I can think of load shedding as one of the newest challenges. Yes, we've had a power issue for a while now, but it's manifesting so aggressively now in this current time that we live in. Can you just give us a sense of how the landscape has changed?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I think some of the key problems that small businesses have are still the same. And maybe let's talk specifically around payments. So when we started the business, we started out with a very specific pain point that we were trying to solve for small businesses, where a small business owner really struggled to be able to get a card machine or to be able to get, you know, functionality from their bank to help them accept card payments from their customers. So that was the original use case. I think in the formal economy and in the bigger metros, there's been, both from ourselves and from you know, other competitors in the space, we've built out a good acceptance network where in a lot of these metro areas now, consumers are quite confident that they can go into a store and they can pay by card. And in an economy like South Africa, where, you know, cash comes with, I guess, danger, it comes with shrinkage, you know, it comes with challenges around, if I'm in a community where I don't have my own transport and I run out of cash, it's quite hard for me to go and get more of it. So I think we've seen a big growth in the acceptance footprint in the metros. But outside of that, there's still a big addressable market. So it's still somewhere between probably 70 to 75% of SMEs in this country are still predominantly, or, you know, 100% cash-based businesses. So I think the pain point remains the same, and that there's still a big opportunity to help bring those SMEs into this digital ecosystem and help build trust in accepting payments. I think something that has changed is from a consumer perspective, and one of the catalysts in driving the change in behavior was COVID, where historically, although people had a bank card, they had a SASSA card, they had a Capitec card, or one of the other big four banks, they would often just use those cards to go to an ATM, draw money once they got paid their salary, and then kind of take that cash home and keep it under their mattress. With COVID, people were, I think that behavior changed, where people didn't want to be handling cash. They're worried about, I guess, the sanity factor as well as the safety factor. So I think a lot of consumers now are putting pressure on businesses to be able to accept a card payment. And ultimately, it's a lot more convenient for the consumer. It's a lot safer. So I think that has changed. In terms of, I guess, the other pain points which remain the same, is that for most small businesses, taking payments is a challenge. And then the second big challenge is actually getting access to working capital. You know, how do they get funding to help grow their business? How do they get funding to help buy more stock so they can, you know, make a higher turnover every month? And 80% of the SMEs in this country, many of them are sole props. They're not formal registered businesses. And they, therefore, they don't have the credit history or the track record that a traditional bank is looking for to provide them with capital to grow. So I think that pain point is something that we've seen as consistent over the last 10 years. And we're seeing a lot of growth in our working capital products, where we're helping fund businesses with working capital as part of the corporate ecosystem, and very big growth in that space. And it's helping them open additional stores, hire staff, buy more stock, you know, really just incrementally build their business. So I think that's changed. It's remained the same as a problem. And I think it will continue to be a need moving forward, irrespective of where technology is. Coming back to your comments around load shedding, I think load shedding has had in the last kind of 12, 18 months, it's had a big impact on the small business space. Your bigger retailers, obviously they're in centers, or they have, you know, they have the resources to put in things like generators and backup power. Whereas a small business owner, someone running a butchery or a small retail business, or a small bar or a small fast food takeaway service, they don't necessarily have the means to, you know, have backup power, etc. And they're often in areas where when network backup batteries start to run out, they have challenges around connectivity. So I think that is it's obviously a new challenge. It's something that's top of mind in SA. From the data we've looked at, we think that's impacting turnover for small businesses by as much as 20 to 25%. So their turnover is like kind of being reduced by as much as that. If we look at comparative periods, obviously 2023 being, I guess, the worst year in history from a load shedding perspective. And that 20 to 25% turnover that they've lost, it can't be viewed in isolation, because the other challenge for them is that costs have risen. Obviously, inflation is big. Cost of capital is big. You know, rentals, cost of fuel, et cetera, have all gone up as people have tried to factor in the cost of load shedding to their services. So it's been a tough environment for SMEs. We've worked very hard from a solutions perspective to make sure that kind of our flagship device, our eCorker Flyer unit, it's a very robust device. It's got dual SIM plus Wi-Fi connectivity. It cycles between networks and load shedding. And as a result, we've seen very big uptake on that product this year, where SMEs have moved away from some of the legacy bank devices that have struggled in load shedding with poorer connectivity, and the eCorker Flyer device has fared really well. But we've had to work very hard as a team, you know, to figure out how do you help solve for this trend, or at least how do you minimize the impact that load shedding has on businesses. But it's an ongoing issue, and I guess like all South Africans, we're sitting with bated breath, hoping that as we move into 2024, that it starts to improve. And once it does improve, I think we'll see good growth in the economy, hopefully in the second half of the year.
Matt, I'm interested in your insight on this particular point now. I mean, you mentioned that around about 70% of SMEs are predominantly cash-based. And obviously, you mentioned load shedding, and that's going to be an issue in terms of connectivity. But I'm wondering, what seems to be the issue with converting small businesses from a cash economy into a digital one? Is it a matter of there's just such an influx of businesses coming into the space, so you're constantly having to deal with demand? Or is it a matter of retention of customers that may have probably used, let's say, eCorker's products, but then because of whatever hurdles they may come across down the road, the business either closes down or they don't see feasible to make use of these products and they just stick to cash? Like, what seems to be the issue with converting and gaining ground on that conversion?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very complex question to answer, and I'll give it my best shot, but I'm not going to get it 100% right. So I think the first point that you raised is very valid, in that in this SME space, you have a lot of, you know, businesses that start up and then potentially fail. You know, you constantly have movements or churn in the space where, you know, someone starts a business, they can't get capital to grow, they shut it down, they move into a job, etc. So I think there's constantly movements on what those businesses look like and new businesses coming into the space. That is part of it. I think the second is that there's a big, especially for small businesses and in the informal economy, there's a lot of distrust of the, let's call it, the big legacy banks, because of the experience maybe that some of these people have had as consumers. So I think that like cash is something that people, they can touch it, they can feel it. You know, it's been around for hundreds of years. And I think there's still an education job to be done, you know, to build trust and education and make sure that people at all levels of the pyramid understand the benefits of being part of this digital ecosystem. So for us, I think it's, you know, we're growing, I guess, really healthily year on year at very fast growth rates, and trying to like almost get deeper into, from a distribution perspective, into the outlying areas, the frontier towns, because that's where, you know, there's still an education gap. And ultimately, there's also, I guess, a fear or a lack of confidence around technology, and people need to be handheld. Not everyone is happy just going online and buying something and it getting delivered to them. They actually need a physical person to help educate them, or they need to speak to someone on the phone, you know, or they need someone to help, you know, make them comfortable in how it works. So I think education is a big part of it, and we're working really hard in that space. And just changing, you know, humans are we funny creatures. When we've had a habit for a long time, breaking those habits, even if, you know, someone's telling you these are the benefits, it's almost just getting them over that first hurdle. So what we find, once people come into the ecosystem and experience it, then we actually have pretty good retention. And what happens often is that the turnover in these businesses grows because they can accept card. They make more money in time because their customers are able to spend more. They don't have to worry about, you know, losing sales. And then they also, as a byproduct, they get working capital from us after kind of 90 days worth of trade, and they reinvest in their business and they grow. So a lot of people who've moved from cash into the ecosystem, once they see the benefits, they remain unless their business fails. But it's just getting to that other 70% of people who are still, you know, in the outer areas working, in kind of old ways.
Matt, the informal economy has been the buzz for a while. I mean, I cover retail as well, and we see that retail companies are trying to tap into that space. We also see producers, manufacturers, FMCG companies wanting to tap into that space because there's so much cash flowing there and there's so much opportunity to be tapped into. And I'm just wondering, I mean, with the developments that we're seeing in the payment space, with innovations on cardless payments, that being popular, and online as well, growing significantly, is the informal economy being left behind in these innovations? Like, are they in a space where they can also start accepting cardless payments, or are they just going to be lagging the rest of the world per se in this growth?
I mean, I think historically, to some extent, there was definitely a gap where they were potentially being left behind. But I think that that's really changing. And for us, it's a key focus area, is driving distribution, education, support in these communities, because there's actually, you know, there's a lot of great thriving businesses in either the frontier towns or township economy that are very robust, well-organized, well-structured businesses in terms of the fundamentals, but they haven't, I guess, been looked after, or they haven't been targeted by businesses like us historically to bring them into this digital economy. The gap is definitely closing. So I think we're seeing good growth in that space. But obviously it's a big market, and it takes time and a big investment to, you know, to really drive education and distribution. But it's a key focus for us, and trying to, you know, bring as many of those business owners into this digital economy. But there is definitely appetite when you're meeting with people on their terms, communicating with them in ways that they are comfortable with, that conversion is starting to happen. And as you build critical mass, as more people take up the services, see the benefit, they obviously, that word of mouth really starts to amplify and spread. And I think that in a year's time, 2 years' time, you'll see even an informal, like, very good penetration of these types of solutions.
And then looking forward to 2024, in line with now what you've just said, what trends is eCoca looking at, and what solutions are you looking to just push in this new year that we are going to be entering soon?
Very soon, yeah. Wish it was a little bit sooner. I'm sure we're all looking forward to a holiday. It's been a long year, 2023. In terms of the trends, I guess the one for us is, like, how do we lower the barrier to entry for merchants? And you mentioned, I guess, people in informal. So we've launched this year, we've kind of scaled this year our tap on phone functionality. So basically, a merchant can download the eCoca app without having to buy a card machine. And if they have a specific Android phone over a certain OS version, essentially our app turns their phone into a card machine. So they can accept they can tap a card onto their phone, and it processes like a normal physical card machine. So that's a really good way to bring people on the edge of this digital economy into it, where they don't have to invest upfront. They can download an app, and they can experience the value of a payment without having to have a physical device. So I think we'll see that tap on phone, still very new technology, still quite leading edge, but we're seeing very good growth in that space. I think tap on phone will be one that continues to grow nicely. I think merchants moving into not just being able to accept payments in person physically, more and more merchants wanting to have an online or digital presence, whether it's a website, whether it's just selling some of their services through social media, whether it's being able to WhatsApp someone a pay link, those sort of digital payment mechanisms, I think we'll see continued growth in that space. And for us, we've now built out and we're seeing nice growth from both an in-person payments perspective as well as digital payments. And you get all of that as part of the eQuarkey ecosystem. So I think there'll be growth in the digital payment space. Another key focus for us is that we want to help these businesses, so not just take payments, but really to start, manage, and grow. So we're starting to, I guess, provide things like, you know, very easy to understand but helpful analytics of helping people recon their business, giving them key insights and what they can do to, you know, grow faster or to like improve the fundamentals of their business. So I think you'll see a functionality that helps them actually run their business, not just accept payments. And for us, that's quite a key focus area in 2024. And then distribution, really, like how do we get, you know, how do we accelerate, how do we meet merchants in their communities across South Africa so that we can really, I guess, have a bigger impact and get kind of closer to our goal of helping enable 1 million SMEs and bringing 1 million SMEs into this digital economy. Because when we get to that sort of scale, if those businesses have access to the tools that we're building, and we've got a big product team, 120 people that are, you know, every day they're just thinking about how to make an SME's world better. What are the tools that they need to grow? When 1 million merchants start to have access to that sort of functionality at a very affordable price point, I think we'll see, you know, we'll see some really good growth in our economy. And then I guess the macro one is obviously we hope at some point that load shedding starts to ease next year and that creates, I guess, a friendlier environment for business, for small businesses specifically in SA to thrive.
Matt Putman, the co-founder of Durban-based fintech company eQuarkey, right there, painting the picture on the payment landscape, its current challenges and opportunities going into the new year. Thank you so much for your time and insights, Matt.
My pleasure, Connor. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at machoba_A or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye and don't forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.